Are we going? A couple weeks ago, I preached a message on being the fragrance of Christ. I think we called it, "What Do You Smell Like?" And you might remember the Lord had spoken to me about to research the process of flowers turning into perfume, right? And how flowers go through a crushing process. And as soon as they're crushed, like a fragrance is released, but then they go into the heat, a water heat cycle, which makes them into essential oil. Super powerful scent, then can be made into perfumes and to all different kinds of things. Well, you could call this message today part two of that, you know, getting through your trial, smelling sweet, part two, whatever you want to call it. But I'm actually going to take about the next 25 minutes, and I'm going to preach about the most hated scripture verse in the entire Bible. Are you excited? Woo! We love it, we hate it. That's how it is. This is what I'm preaching on. Trials and tribulations. We like to get over them. Don't like to go through them. And so, but the Lord's been having me in some of these passages, strengthening my own self. And I want to strengthen us as a people, as a family. So James 1:2. Everyone go, oh, that verse. Now I know. James 1:2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know, okay, wait, we just need to say that again. Some of you are going through a trial, and honestly, you feel offended just because I read that. And you're like, I know I could be like, Paul, did you really know what you were writing there? Yes, he did. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, I really want to talk about how to come through your trials smelling sweet. And I don't really have time to talk about the source of suffering. And many times whenever we start talking about taking joy in trials and tribulations, immediately some of us almost get offended because we're like, what are you saying? God loves it when I suffer. What are you saying? God made me suffer. And some of you have went through horrendous things in your life. Let me tell you, God doesn't wake up in the morning and say, what little girls am I going to have get raped today? There is an enemy that lives in this earth, and he is wicked. And let me tell you, we can tell the fruit of the enemy and the fruit of the Lord. It's not actually hard. So although I'm not talking about, I'm going to address it for like 1 minute here. This is not what we're talking about. I want us to go into this message. We have to go in just knowing something. God is good. He's really good. He's the kind of good you can rely on. He's truly your father. He's an amazing dad. He's for you, not against you. He loves you. He wants to see you succeed. He may have a different definition of success than we do. He wants to especially see you succeed on the inside. Let me tell you that. He loves you. But Jesus also promised that in this life we'd have trials, we'd have tribulations. He said, take heart, I've overcome the world, but it's a dark age. Remember, we even talked about this a couple weeks ago when we talked about what smell the world has. The whole earth is rotting. It's decaying. There is so much darkness. And because of it, even believers go through pain. Unexpected deaths. People sin against you. There's betrayals, whatever. You know, you can fill in the blank. The fact is, sometimes we go through stuff, but the Lord wants us to go through it in a certain way. And that's what we're talking about. So why in the world should I be glad for trials and tribulations? Truth number one, this is good. You guys should say amen. I would preach better if you did. Do you want me to preach best? Okay, start shouting. Thank you. I should have asked you that earlier. Do you want me to be boring or like more interesting? Because I'm going to hold you captive for the next 30 minutes no matter what. Thank you. Shout it. Shout it out. Okay, whatever, this is the truth. Whatever is inside of you comes out under pressure. You think you know what's on the inside, but until you get in the squeeze of life, and then, woo, things start coming out that you didn't know was there. This is a truth. Inner realities of your heart are actually revealed when it's put under pressure. I was going to bring a pressure cooker this morning, but I thought you guys might be thinking that Sunday mornings was turning into a cooking show after 2 weeks ago. So I opted out. But think about this. A pound of raw hamburger, okay? If you smell it, you feel it, you taste it. I'm not into it, but actually some cultures really love like raw ground beef. I won't knock it till I try it, but I may never try it. So yeah, so raw ground beef has a certain smell, right? Certain taste, certain feel. But you put that meat in a pressure cooker, like an Instapot. How many ladies have, or men, I won't discriminate, have an Instapot? How many of you have a pressure cooker? If you don't have an Instapot, do you have a pressure cooker? How many people know what a pressure cooker is? Thank you. A few do. Okay. I had a pressure cooker until I got an Instapot. That was a good day. Thank you, Atal. He gave me my Instapot. Yes, precious boy. I tell you what, you take that pound of raw meat and you stick it in a pressure cooker. You stick it in heat and you cook that thing for 10, 20 minutes. You have something completely different in taste, in smell. All of a sudden, every yummy flavor in that thing whoosh, bursts forth, right? It's because what's inside, the potential, comes out in the heat. Have you ever heard of that term, you know, oh, I went through this hard time, it really tested my mettle. I went through a trial that tested my mettle. That's a phrase we often use. Well, testing metal, we actually test metal by heat. They take gold, they put it in the heat, and under the heat, we see what's in it. Is it pure? Does it have some silver mixed with it? Are there other heavy metals in there? They all come to the surface under the heat. And guess what? The reason why we can be grateful for that is because we actually want to be like Jesus. So the reason we can take joy in the squeeze of life, in the pressure cooker of life, is I didn't know, I see something inside of me that I didn't know was there. And you guys, it works both ways. It works to encourage you. And it will work to help you repent. There's some things you'll walk through in life, and at the end of it, you'll say, I never knew I could have walked through that. It was so hard. And God's grace was with me, and I glorified him. Like, I didn't falter. I did it. And guess what the Lord's saying? Under pressure, the glory of God came out on him. Under pressure, Joseph, that was just the strength of the Lord in you that just came out. And there's time in the pressure cooker of life that all of a sudden the anger pops out, right? The bitterness pops out. The frustration. We thought we were honest until we're in a pressure cooker. Then we tell a lie to get out of trouble. Comes out. What's on the inside comes out. And the truth is, when it comes out, the Lord's like, now we got something to talk about. Let's deal with it. Truth number two about why you should be glad for trials and tribulations. Inner strength is actually formed through adversity. I'm going to say it again. Inner strength is formed through adversity. 15, 16 years ago when we started this church, there was a sweet little newly married couple that joined the church. They actually moved many years ago to another state. And they bought a new house, first-time home buyers, young couple. And the previous owners of the house had taken meticulous care of the lawn. I mean, honestly, these guys must have watered once or twice a day for it to be that green, that thick, that lush in South Dakota. You couldn't find a weed on the property. It was perfect yard, okay? Well, this couple, the guy was out in the yard and he was like, I don't know, doing some work. Don't ask me why. I can't tell you why he did this. But he went over to a tree. The previous owners had planted a tree. Tree's a year or two old in the yard. He went over to the tree, he grabbed the tree, and he pulled the tree completely out of the ground, looked like a healthy tree, pulled it completely out of the ground with one hand. He was shocked. And when he looked at the root of the tree, it was formed exactly in the round, like the round container it came from when they bought it at Lewis. Or literally, those owners had watered and babied that yard and that tree so much, it never had to put any roots out. The tree never had to go beyond the shape that it was when it came from the greenhouse. You guys, adversity actually, inner strength is formed through adversity. When we're tested in something, we have to go put down some roots, right? That poor little tree never lacked for a cup of water in its life. Its roots all stayed right up there on the surface. Just drink, 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 until one day when a little adversity came, whoosh, uprooted. We don't want to be that tree. We want to be a different kind of tree. So let's look back at that James 1, 2. It says, the testing of your faith, because first of all, what does it say? It says, take joy, right, in trials and tribulations. And we all go, why? Why would you say that? And then he answers it in the next phrase, because, right? He's gonna answer us. He knows that for thousands of years, every Christian's going to go, why did you say that? He says, this is why I tell you to do it. Because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Kimberly, I don't know why. I never thought about this until right now. Can you come up? I'm just going to totally embarrass you. It's not going to be that embarrassing. Come on up. You're going to love this. No, just kidding. Do you agree she's a woman of faith? Yeah. Actually, she's a really great woman of faith, right? That's why I think the Lord wants you to do this. If I say, Kimberly, I want you to go and I want you to run through that wall right there. I want you, you don't, just go move it right now. Try. Go move the wall. Okay. She thought she had faith until a wall came, right? She's like, wait, I had faith. But now, do you feel like it's possible for you? Do you feel like it's possible?
It's possible? No.
No, you don't feel like it's possible. It might hurt, right? Okay, right. What did I just... She was just told to do something that tested her faith, right? And if she's going to now move that wall, it's going to take some perseverance, isn't it? Or hammer. But, you don't get it unless you persevere. You'll never get the hammer. That's another thing, right? Tools come to you when you persevere. All right, you can sit down. You're amazing. Thank you, Kim. Such a woman of faith. Honestly, what is your faith made of? You don't know until it's tested. Is it shallow faith? That you only really love Jesus when he's giving you Teslas? When life is all perfect and sweet? What about when you got marriage problems? What about when you lose your job? What about when someone rises up against you and they're just lying? Why are they doing that? They're just lying. Just snake tongue coming out. I go, what in the world? And they're making your life miserable. It tests your faith, right? But the testing of your faith does something. It produces perseverance. And let me tell you, if you don't learn to persevere in your walk, and I'll tell you what perseverance means. Perseverance is a continued effort to achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. Persevering in your faith looks like trusting God when it looks impossible. Persevering in your faith means believing God's word over whatever you see around you. Persevering in your faith looks like saying no to sin and yes to righteousness, no matter what you feel like. The person who never learns to persevere is completely crippled in their walk in Christ. You're completely crippled. If you don't know how to, what does it say? Continue to try to do something even when it's hard, basically. Never overcome sin. Never start anything for the Lord. Never share your faith. That's too hard. You got to learn to persevere, right? The testing, the trial is a test of your faith, which produces like, I got to keep going in God no matter what. I don't know what this is going to look like, but if he said to move the wall, then I'm going to sit here and I'm going to speak to it until it moves in Jesus' name. The wall is symbolic, guys, right? Symbolic for something. We like that wall. We want to move that wall and add on. Maybe next spring.
Worked in Jericho.
There you go. We don't just want it to come down, though. We want it to also be. You know what? We'll never hear good and faithful, well done, good and faithful servant, if we haven't learned to persevere. That's the truth. And it says this, it says, the testing of your faith produces perseverance. But perseverance, in other words, when you learn to keep on doing the things you know you're supposed to do, even when it's difficult, that actually makes you mature, complete, and lacking nothing. Who wants to be mature in God? Who wants to be complete? Who wants to lack nothing in Christ? Wow. Then we got to learn how to keep going with the things we know he wants us to do, even when it's difficult, even when it's hard. All right, I'm going to give you, in 10 minutes, this is going to be amazing. In 10 minutes, I'm going to give you 4 reasons why you can rejoice about trials, tribulations, and sufferings. But this is 11 o'clock service, so if I take 20 minutes, it's okay, right? At least I don't have fresh bread baking in the oven make you guys hungry. Not enough. 2 weeks ago, I had fresh bread. I know. I did share it, but there wasn't enough. Why didn't we multiply it? You should have prayed over it to be multiplied. I didn't even think about it. Oh. I need the mind of Christ. That's why I am completely always need the mind of Christ. Okay, let's rejoice about trials, tribulations, and sufferings. Why? Why? Number one, God is actually your source of all comfort. I'm going to show this to you in 1 Corinthians 1. This touched my heart so much a few weeks ago as I was reading this. But God is your source of all comfort. The problem is sometimes we don't remember to run to him when we need comfort. Am I the only one that sometimes thinks we just need a gallon of ice cream and your favorite Netflix for comfort? That's not me, actually. But no, I'm just I like bag of potato chips. That is my more junk food of choice. Jeff's the ice cream guy. Chips, salty all the way. Salty. And I will down the entire bag. We've talked about this before in church. I have no self-control with chips. That's why I don't buy them. So God is a source of all comfort, but sometimes we just don't know how to run to him. We just run, we get the food, we get the entertainment, we get our favorite hobby, we bury our troubles in work. And you know, all of those things may serve to actually numb the pain for a while, but you won't get a deeper root system. Let me tell you, your roots won't go an inch deeper after a gallon of ice cream and 5 hours of binge watching something. You will have avoided the pain, but then you turn the TV off and there it is again. There it is. But look at this. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3, God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Isn't that amazing? God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Verse 4, he comforts us in all our troubles. That's a good amen right there. Why does he do it? Well, first of all, he does it because he's a good father. I think we can just pause there because he says, merciful father. He comforts you because you're his kid. He loves you. He loves you as his child before he ever loves you as like a warrior in Christ or a soldier or a worker. You're his kid first. And how many of you parents, you can relate to that? I mean, you appreciate that your kids do chores around the house, but you don't see them as your minion. Praise God, because they don't do that much usually. It's like they're first your son and daughter. When they're hurting, you want to comfort them because you love them, not because I just need to get them a pump so they can start doing their chores again. And they're having a mental breakdown because all these bad things happen in school. Okay, let me comfort you so you can rise up and be the soldier of God that you're supposed to be. He loves you and comforts you because he's your dad. And the second reason he does it, he comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. When we're troubled, we'll be able to give them, when they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. And this is on your sheet, the second reason to rejoice about trials, tribulations, and sufferings. Number two, in a trial, we actually gain something that we can give to others. God is such a giver. He is such a generous giver. He is going to make sure that in this evil world, there's no way it can strip you. It can strip you barren. It may feel like you're being stripped barren as you're going through a trial, but don't worry. You hold on to Jesus. Don't get bitter and just don't give up. And on the other side of that thing, you'll have something tangible. You will have something God has placed on your life. He's going to make sure. What did he say? Hey, I'm going to make sure all things work together for your good. For those that love God are called according to your purpose. It doesn't matter what someone else has done to you, what trial has been put upon you, the pain you're having to walk through. The Lord's like, this injustice, I'm going to make sure you come through this with something in your arms. You're carrying something. You're carrying a glory. You're carrying an anointing. You're carrying lessons in life that you're going to share with others. He says, I'm going to comfort you and you're going to turn around and you're going to comfort others. You could do it. Keep going. It gets better. God's on the other side of this. He's cheering you on. Think of Joseph. I mean, that Joseph completely underwent so much injustice. Joseph in the book of Genesis, he was betrayed by his older brothers. How many of you have a younger sibling? How many of you ever were annoyed when you were younger with your younger sibling? But you didn't throw him in a pit and plot his death. I mean, it was pretty extreme. Joseph was the young kid, the younger brother. Kids, don't get any ideas. It's just not okay to throw your brother in a cistern. They threw him in a pit with the intention of murdering him and then decided, oh, well, wouldn't it be better that we just get some money for him? And they sold him into slavery. It was a destiny worse than death. It was a fate worse than death. To be carted off to a country of Egypt, to be sold to who knows, he would never have a right to his own life ever again. That was pure evil. That was inspired by Satan himself. But let me tell you, what do we see on the life of Joseph? He came out of that trial carrying more than he went in with. He was raised from the dungeon to the palace, second in command over an entire nation, given interpretations to dreams and visions for strategies of saving the entire known world. And how many of you, he's your hero. The guy was given a lot. God is such a giver. There is nothing that you go through that he can't give you more on the other side. And you need to know it. Like, I'm going to, you know what? This stinks right now. It's hard for me to take joy in it. But you know what? I know God's bringing me through this. And I'm going to be carrying something. I'm going to have something in God to show for this trial. Number three. Fresh new trials cause us to trust God in fresh new ways. I'm going to read it to you. But first, I actually had this real conversation with the Lord. I was like, Lord, I totally want to die to myself. This was a real conversation back in January. I want to die to myself. I want to surrender. You know, I don't really even have the strength to do what it takes. I couldn't choose death to myself. I just can't, right? We're too attached to all of our comfort, right? But God, I want to. I want to die to myself. I want to die to myself. And you know, what is it? A month later, he gives us four foster kids. Let me tell you, you never died to yourself till you've got seven kids in the house. Four foster kids. Nothing's your own. Nothing, ladies. Every article of clothing children are wearing, every piece of jewelry they went through, they're wearing my makeup, they're putting my lipstick on, they're like lipsticks. Oh, I buy one tube of lipstick a year, okay? But I do want decent lipstick, and here I see it, they've written their name with the lipstick on the windows. Yeah, I mean, you're talking nothing is your own, not your sleep, not your bedroom, not your space, not your bathroom, not your makeup, not your clothes. It is death from morning to night and joy from morning to night. Yeah, so you know what? Just ask the Lord. Fresh new trials cause us to trust in God in fresh new ways. It's a real thing. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, Verse 8. I love this. Paul says, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the providence of Asia. He's writing to the church of Corinth. Most of these people have been saved under his ministry. They're his close friends. He's writing a letter to them, and he's like, honestly, I just want you to know about this trial I went through. Okay? And this is what he says, Paul says. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. Just pause there. Some of you have felt that before. Some of you have went through something where you literally felt like, I'm being crushed. I'm completely overwhelmed. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this. I don't know what my life's going to look like when this is done. I don't know what my family's going to look like. I don't know. This is what Paul felt. We were crushed. We were overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. Verse 9, but, aren't you glad for that? But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and we learned to rely only on God. He was overwhelmed, he was crushed, he didn't know if he would survive. He said, but something happened in the middle of that. I learned to rely on God in a way I never relied before. There's this scripture in Song of Songs. It says that the bride's going to come out of the desert leaning on her beloved. There's something about that desert season of the soul, like where we just say, God, you know, if you don't have me, I'm gone. I'm a goner, right? And we learn in a fresh trial that there's a fresh grace to lean on the Lord. There's a fresh way to lean on our beloved Jesus Christ. And we know him in ways we just didn't know him prior to the trial. And although the trial itself, I don't think is what we rejoice in God for. We rejoice that he's producing something through it. We rejoice that he can take anything and he can work his miracle and his glory in us through it. This is the truth, and it's number 4. Trials remind us that we don't even belong to this earth. You also don't belong to Mars. I just want to say it. You belong to the kingdom of heaven. If you go to Mars or if you stay on earth, it's still the kingdom of heaven. It's your actual home, okay? I can't believe how much we talked about Mars today. Oh, if you're joining from live stream, we had a whole conversation prior to the live stream starting talking about Mars. Yeah, so trials remind us that we don't belong to this earth and we are living for eternity and for eternal rewards. This is what 2 Corinthians says, verse 4. We never give up. Just say it. We never give up. You need to declare it over yourself. By the grace of God, I never am going to give up. By the grace of God, I'm never giving up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Verse 17, our present troubles are small. They won't last very long. Yet, they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them, and it will last forever. Your trials, what does it say? The trials, the present troubles, they're small. They won't last long, but don't worry. They're actually producing something for you. What is it? It's the same principle. You come out of that trial carrying something. Do you know God can put a glory on your life, an anointing on your life? You go through something and you say, I refuse to get bitter and I refuse to give up. And by the grace of God, I'm going to cling to you, Jesus. I'm going to keep on loving you. And you know what he says? I love that. And he puts a glory on you, a presence on you, an anointing on you. And you get to carry that thing all the way into eternity. A shine, a light. And it's in eternity, it's like a crown. You get to say, Lord, thank you. I clung to you. You were faithful to me. And then you actually gave me rewards. And here I take it. I throw it at your feet. All the glory that you gave me, I give back to you in this moment. The trials produce a glory that outweighs them all. Guys, there will be a day we'll stand before the Lord, and whatever we went through, whatever hell on earth we went through, it will be nothing compared to the glory of what we're going to be in for eternity. You're going to be so glad you didn't give in. You're going to be so glad you didn't give up. You're going to be so glad you didn't turn your back on the Lord, that you didn't deny him in your hour of trouble. You're going to be so glad that you clung to him. You're going to be so glad that you gave when it hurt. You're going to be so glad. Forever you're going to be glad. Forever you're going to say, oh my goodness. And this is what he says, so don't look at your troubles. Oh, that's so hard to do. Has anyone found it's really hard to not look at your troubles? It's like they're jumping up and down in front of you. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, all your troubles. It is so hard. But you guys, Lord wouldn't have told us to do this if there wasn't grace for it. There is grace. You can't look at two things at the same time. I can't look at Shauna and Joseph at the same time unless I got a lazy eye. I don't. So I can't do it. So what does he say? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your gaze on the things that can't be seen. If you fix your gaze on eternity, your trials, your tribulations, they all start seeming smaller. And the things we can't see, those things that are eternal, they literally last forever. They last forever. Praise God. Chad, I want you to come up, just if you can. Come on up and just strike a chord for us. Okay, I want everyone, all eyes on me. Turn to your neighbor if you need to and tell them, hey, look at her. Every eye on me. I thought I picked up on some family dynamics happening. I'm like, sorry. Yeah, everyone look at me. There's something that's going to happen right now. We're going to go into a ministry time, but there are some of us in this room that you've been feeling like you've been going through trials and tribulations, but it's not necessarily because you've been loving God. It's actually because you're away from God. And that brings trials in itself. Living apart from Father God. Let me tell you, Jesus made a way for you to have a relationship with God. Jesus is the only way to get to the Father. Let me tell you, here you are. And there is God. And between you and him, there is a chasm called your sin. You cannot jump it. You cannot leap it. There is no way for you to get from here to Father God because your sin has created a barrier. It cannot be penetrated. And Jesus came and he died on the cross to span between you and the Father. He made a way for you to get right with God through what he did so you could be with the Father again. And let me tell you this morning in pre-service prayer, I felt like the Lord said, remember that day when Jeff preached on the abomination of desolation and six people got saved? And I started laughing over here. Like I was having a Holy Spirit moment, honestly. I was like uncontrollably laughing because I was like, yes, I remember that. Like we all said, how in the world did six people get saved when Jeff preached on the abomination of desolation from the book of Revelation? Anyway, it was a great sermon, but it was a surprise to us. And you know what the Lord said, it's my spirit. When my spirit's there. And I felt immediately that today was a day when some people were going to meet God. Because God's spirit is here. And there is a grace to get free. There is a grace to go from here you are in all of your junk and your sin. And if you will grab a hold of the hand of Christ that has reached out, he will bring you into himself and reunite you with the Father. You can't get to God any other way. You are damned to hell if you don't take his hand. I want to make it clear. This may be your only moment. This may be your only time you're ever going to get to hear this message. You may leave this building and get in a car wreck on Dakota and 5th, and it's over for you. You don't know. But this moment, Jesus is here, and he spanned the gap. so he could grab a hold of your hand and bring you to the Father. Because he loves you. He's crazy about you. He doesn't want you to live away from God in darkness. If you choose to live away from God in this earth, you will choose to live away from God for all eternity. That's how it works. If you choose to live apart from the Lord, you're choosing to do it forever. It's your choice. But today, you're here for a reason. You are in this room right now for a reason. Because you could make one powerful decision to grab a hold of the hand of Jesus, and everything changes for you. From death to life. From darkness to joy. That's this moment where you stand up. Nobody looking around, no one talking. This is a very important moment. Don't distract your neighbor, okay? I want you to focus right now on the Lord. Close your eyes. It just helps. Let's just close our eyes. Everyone just close them. This is you and Jesus right now. This is you and Jesus right now. Every eye closed. If you've been living apart from God, but you want to run to him right now by accepting Jesus, I just want you to lift your hand. Nobody looking around. Thank you, Jesus. I can see him working. I can see him working. Thank you, Lord. We're just going to give this a moment. Don't talk to your neighbor. When you stand before God, you won't have anyone in this room with you. Your friends aren't going to be there. It's going to be you and him. If you choose him this day, it's you and him. If you reject him this day, it's you and him. You're rejecting him. If you want to accept the Lord, I want you to raise your hand. This is to God. Say, God, I want you. I want you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you have someone in your heart in this room you want to pray for, go ahead and step out of your seat. Move to that person. Just pray for them. Just say, hey, I want to just pray for you. I want to bless you right now. Or you can ask someone, hey, how are you doing with God? Are you away from the Father? It's kind of happening all over the room. We're just going to worship the Lord. Chat, if you want to go into worship song, even that's fine. But if you have someone on your heart right now, I want you just to go to them. And you say, hey, I want to pray with you right now. I know this is a powerful moment. I don't want you to miss it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.